So growing up, we had an N64. I had Mario 64, Star Fox 64, Shadows of the Empire, Mario Kart, GoldenEye, Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask, F-Zero X, Pokemon Snap, Perfect Dark, Mario Golf, Mario Tennis, Mario Party, Donkey Kong 64, etc. Basically, if there was a game that was worth playing on the system, I eventually got a hold of it.
For the Super Nintendo, me and my siblings were like a little bit young. We kind of just played whatever our dad bought. But for the N64, we were all like, I don't know, like 6 to 10-ish in that sort of range.
Although I remember getting an N64 shortly after it was initially released, I didn't play a ton of games for it. It was largely just for Super Mario 64, Ocarina of Time, and Paper Mario. Oh, and Super Smash Brothers and GoldenEye. And then I think we played some wrestling games on it as well. I particularly remember WCW versus NWO. My brother and I played a ton.
Hi guys, it's Pete from Attack of Final Fantasy, and I'm here to read the manual. I'm very excited to play this game again. I've not played it for a while, so let's just get right into it. Story: will Princess Toadstool be kidnapped again? Is there no end to the constant feuding between Mario and Bowser?
Huh?
Will Princess Toadstool be kidnapped?
Whoa,
why they've put
hold up there, Pete.
What?
Pete.
Yeah, what's up?
Pete.
What's up, Eric? What's up?
That's the wrong manual.
What do you mean it's the wrong manual? We're playing Mario.
Yeah, man, we're doing Banjo-Kazooie this season.
Oh, we're not.
It's Banjo-Kazooie.
I don't know what to tell you. The people have spoken.
Well, the people are stupid, Eric.
I hear you, dude.
I know. I wish we were playing Mario 64, too.
What's the matter? You guys didn't want us to suffer through Contra Hardcore or Ghosts and Goblins?
I voted for F-Zero X, but here we are.
Ugh, fine.
Hi, I'm Bill, and I absolutely love old video games. But I didn't have anyone to play with, so I decided to start the Super Switch Club.
That's right.
A podcast dedicated to discussing and reliving the nostalgia of retro video games that are also on the Nintendo Online Virtual Library.
Hello there! My name's Kylie Kane, and I'm from the Versian Chronicles podcast, the audio-only Let's Play podcast that plays CRPGs from the past.
This is Ben from Dragoon Effect.
This is Eric Slater from Epic Tales of History, Too Young for This Trek, and Podcasters Assemble.
Hey folks, it's Brett from Skeleton House.
Hey, this is Frost.
G'day, I'm Elise.
Hey everyone, it is Caslo25. I am a YouTuber and Twitch streamer that focuses on role-playing games with a special focus on Final Fantasy XIV.
Hello, party people. This is Scott. I am a Twitch streamer over at twitch.tv/thescottspot. That's the_Scott_spot.
So my game won this time, Banjo-Kazooie, a fun collect-a-thon platformer for the Nintendo 64.
I'm so excited because this is going to be one of my favorite games. Favorite as in it has lots of fantastic memories and nostalgia, not necessarily the gameplay.
And I have no memories of this game. I actually didn't play this game growing up. I ended up with a copy of Donkey Kong 64 for my Nintendo 64, and that was the collect-a-thon I played. Years later, I played through Yooka-Laylee, which is very Banjo and Kazooie-like. Kazooie.
Never checked out Banjo-Kazooie. Although years later, I would hear nothing but love for the game, which led me to back Yooka-Laylee on Kickstarter, which was made by a whole bunch of Rare guys as well, kind of as a spiritual successor for Banjo-Kazooie. And I absolutely fell in love with that game. There were some frustrating parts, but from what I understand, it's pretty faithful to the Banjo formula, right down to not really having voice acting. So I'm excited to see when we get to playing the game, how it actually feels being an N64 game instead of a modern game doing a throwback.
Rareware is such an interesting company. They have this really, really interesting past of building collectathons in games like Donkey Kong 64, Donkey Kong Country in those games for the Game Boy and for the SNES. Of course, GoldenEye and Perfect Dark is Rare. Those are fantastic shooters and probably the seminal shooters.
I have played Banjo-Kazooie several times. I remember renting it as a child multiple times. I have beaten it a couple of times. I think I didn't actually beat it until I was like a teenager or something. It's a pretty difficult game, but I have fond memories of it. I almost didn't want to really play it when it got voted in for the Super Switch Club. not because it's a bad game, but just because it's like one of those games I've beaten before. And so I'm just like, do I really have the time in my adulthood to replay games I've beaten before? The answer is no. But in another more this is actually going to happen way, it's yes.
So I have played Banjo-Kazooie before. I have never completed it. I have also played Banjo-Tooie and never completed it. And I have also played Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts and never completed it. And also, here's a take that would have got me canceled like 15 years ago, but I think as time is progressing onwards, it is becoming less caustic. I think Nuts and Bolts is the best Banjo game. Like, it's almost not even worth comparing them because Kazooie and Tooie are like collectathon platformers, and then Nuts and Bolts is like a, hey, build a car. So it's kind of apples and oranges, but it's also kind of Banjo-Kazooie and Banjo-Kazooie. I feel like Banjo-Kazooie was a staple for like the period in which we rented games.
Oddly enough, I literally can't remember if I ever actually owned Banjo-Kazooie. It might have been one of those that we just kept renting from Blockbuster and causing my poor parents to go bankrupt from late fees.
So yeah, lots of Iggy's Wrecking Balls. We got a lot of trying to remember which Bomberman was the co-op Bomberman and like getting it wrong most of the time. And we played a decent amount of Banjo-Kazooie.
Back when this game came out, I remember really getting into these collectathon games. They were pretty huge in the late 90s, like early 2000s. This really was an entire genre. There was that one with the gecko who had a bunch of one-liners and movie references. I remember Banjo being one of the better ones. But I also seem to remember Donkey Kong 64 being both more fun and somehow even more frustrating, probably because there was just so much to collect. Seriously, that one was like impossible to 100%. Honestly, this feels like a metaphor for capitalism, teaching kids to hoard shiny shit like a greedy dragon. There was a time where 100%ing a game was all the rage. You could brag to all your friends at school or trade secrets and tips in the hallway or playground. Nowadays, with how little free time I have to play games as an adult, I kind of care less about achievements and finding secrets. Unless it's Zelda. I do love me some Breath of the Wild. But give me a good story, some good visuals, or just a fun, relaxing time. This game is not that.
So let's just dive right in here. I feel like I should pull out like my banjo and start like playing it. You know, the bird in my backpack's going to pop out with its little horn kazooie, and then my little sister's going to come out. I'm excited. Let's get into it. Yes. So I'm looking at the manual here. Very basic cover for this manual.
And it starts off talking about the N64 controller, which I think we can't not talk about because the N64 controller was super strange and started to be this experimental point in Nintendo history.
Mm-hmm. Yep, the controller, just as funky as always. They even have to teach you how to hold the Nintendo 64 controller because it's poorly designed.
It's a good thing there's a guide to tell you how to hold the N64 controller because it's an abomination.
I always referred to it kind of like an alien controller because it looked like you really needed three hands to be able to play it because there were three kind of points of the controller sticking out instead of the two that we have standard now. On one of those, you had a D-pad. The other one had your standard six buttons. And then the third one was just for the start button and the joystick, as well as for the first time having like a trigger button underneath.
It's actively trying to break your hands as you're playing.
I mean, the easiest way to describe it is that you've got this Super Nintendo controller that then has another pod in the middle of it that has the joystick and a Z button on it.
About the controller, it says here in this manual, the Nintendo 64 controller is the shittiest controller of all time ever created. Nobody should use it, and people that are nostalgic for it should feel bad. No, it says that right here. in all actuality, it's not as bad as people make it out to be, but I really do. I love the Nintendo 64, but I feel like that's a terrible fucking controller. Moving on.
Yo, Rumble Pak support, let's go.
Oh, there's a little bit about the Rumble Pak here. It's compatible with the Rumble Pak, so you can have your controller vibrated for you if you so choose. I'm assuming that's implemented in the Switch version, although I will be playing the Xbox version. Don't tell anybody.
You have to make sure that the control stick is in the neutral position when you turn the game on, otherwise you're going to completely screw up the mechanics. So that's neat.
And I owned an N64, and I never knew, because I never read a manual, that when you boot it up, if if you, like, say you turned on your N64 and your controller is upside down on the ground and the analog stick was, like, pushed to the side, well, when it boots up, it's going to hold that, like, position as neutral, right? So then you turn the thing on and all of a sudden Mario is just running in circles on the screen because it thinks that the position of straight up is actually way to the right or something like that. What I always did before was I'd turn off the N64 and turn it back on in a neutral position. Apparently, you can reset the neutral position once the game has started by holding L and R and start at the same time. I never knew that.
They say the control stick is a precision instrument. Make sure not to spill any liquids or place any foreign objects into it. Cool. I'll keep that in mind.
Oh, I'm glad I'm playing this through Game Pass. The controller is just a mess.
Okay, so here we have the story. All good old manuals have to have a story for you. So here we go.
What else have we... Oh, we've got the story. Oh, are we all going to read the story? I hope so. Let's see.
Okay, I see there's some pictures, some items on this page. There's a lot of items that are for some reason sentient. I can already tell, like talking eggs, some switches. I see pictures of some of the main characters, including Gruntilda, one of my favorite video game villains. And her rhyming. You got Tootie in bottles. Okay, let me start reading.
At last, the dirty green and blue smog was beginning to clear. Gruntilda stood at the topmost window of her lair, grinning wickedly down on her latest world.
Her latest world? Does she have other worlds?
Tiny creatures far below, she cackled. Which of you'll be first to go?
The witch rubbed her hands in glee at the prospect of putting her favorite invention to good use. It was her pride and joy, a machine that could suck the physical beauty from its victims for Gruntilda to absorb like a sponge.
I don't want to go too far into it, but that's actually like a kink. I've seen porns about this.
That's horrifying. And it would certainly teach her cutesy sister Brentilda a lesson. How dare that interfering do-gooder inherit the family good looks and leave Gruntilda, well, slightly disadvantaged in that department.
Ha, huh. Not anymore, gloated the witch, picking her nose smugly. Not anymore.
Turning back to the bubbling cauldron, Gruntilda began to cast a spell which would reassure her that she was, of course, the most wonderfully attractive creature in this bright new world.
Meanwhile,
they literally animate this in the game. I don't know why there had to be a story segment.
Tootie was skipping home through the sunny green fields of Spiral Mountain. As she reached the garden gate, a pair of blurry eyes that could only belong to her good friend Bottles popped up from a nearby molehill.
Now, I just want to interject here because along with the text here, there are some images since you probably have no idea who Tootie or Bottles or Gruntilda are. So Gruntilda is a classic witch. She is depicted here riding a living broomstick, which has eyes and a mouth. She is green, the standard witch. Green, black hat, black cloak, things like that. Tootie is a small bear with pigtails who is playing the flute. And Bottles is a mole wearing giant goggles and a vest. So, there you go.
Morning, Tootie, he blinked, uncorking himself from the hole. And what are your plans for this fine day? Tootie jumped up and down excitedly, remembering Banjo's promise.
Oh, she squealed. When my lazy brother gets out of bed, we're going on an adventure. That's me, waiting for my partner to wake up every day. I'm almost always up hours before him.
That's nice.
Waddle squinted up into the sky.
Hang on, isn't that your brother up there? Tootie turned and saw an odd shape swooping down towards them at high speed. No, that can't be Banjo, she said, frowning. I wonder who it is.
Sweeter than me? Prettier than me? Impossible! Gruntilda was so furious at the cauldron's words that she could barely control her broomstick, screeching with anger every time her boots clipped treetops.
As cute as me, you stupid pot. For her own sake, I hope she's not.
Shit, alright, if you're gonna rhyme everything, then just kill me now.
The witch sped recklessly on until her target finally came into view.
Staring up at her from a field far below was the innocent young honey bear she'd seen in the depths of that treacherous cauldron.
I guess I never really thought of Banjo and Tootie as honey bears. What makes them a honey bear? Huh. I'm gonna resist the urge to Google that.
Gruntilda cackled.
Honey bears looks far more than she, and finally perfect I shall be, she cried, and sent the broomstick into a deep dive.
Now, if you're unfamiliar, our titular characters, Banjo and Kazooie, are going to play a role in this next section of the story. Banjo is a honey bear, and Kazooie is a annoying bird of some sort. Apparently, he's referred to as a red-crested Breegull. Basically, I don't know, someone else describe Kazooie, because I can't do it. Anyway, back to our tale.
Kazooie popped out of the backpack as noise erupted just outside the window. Banjo! She squawked in alarm. Banjo, wake up! The honey bear groaned and pulled a pillow over his head. Oh, Kazooie, it's too early, came his muffled voice. This is no time to be lazy, Furface, trilled the Breegull, swinging anxiously to and fro. We've got trouble.
Gonna have to resist Googling what a Breegull is right now. I know it's a type of bird, obviously. Banjo yawned, rolled over, and fell out of bed in surprise as Kazooie's struggle suddenly toppled both the backpack and its stand onto the floor with a crash.
At the same time, a sudden gust of wind blew open the curtains, and beneath the peals of manic laughter fading into the distance, Banjo heard the helpless cries of a voice he recognized. Tootie! The bear gulped, realizing that this was definitely going to be one of those days.
You're not even ready, Banjo.
Kazooie, what are you doing down there? He said in confusion, grabbing the backpack as he bolted for the door. There's no time to be lazy. We've got trouble!
And so this is where our epic tale begins. Banjo and Kazooie set off to find Banjo's sister and defeat the evil Gruntilda.
And there's the story.
Awesome.
But again, that whole thing is animated in the game, so like, I don't even know that we needed to read the manual for this.
Are you someone who likes to listen to Let's Play videos in the background while you play your favorite games or do your least favorite chores? If so, check out my podcast, Verzian Chronicles. Here, we take a deep dive into classic and modern RPGs of all kinds in a way that makes it easy to listen to and fun for those long commutes to work. We're currently playing The Elder Scrolls Morrowind and Dragon Quest XI S, with more games on the way soon. New episodes release every Wednesday and Saturday mornings. I hope you listen, and I know you'll enjoy.
We've got some information on all the characters. You have Banjo's a honey bear, Kazooie's a red-breasted seagull. Wait, a red-crested Breegull. Oh my goodness. A red-breasted seagull would be quite the sight. Now we've got Tootie, Banjo's little sister. And we've got Bottles, who's Tootie's friend. And we've got Gruntilda, but Banjo didn't know who Bottles was at the start, which is weird because Banjo also has a portrait of Bottles in his house. So you'd think that he would know, and that is odd, but that's fine. We've got Gruntilda. Oh, she's selfish, spiteful, and nasty. Now she's on a mission to make herself attractive. Gruntilda, the witch's sister, and Mumbo Jumbo's gotta be my favorite.
The interesting thing is that it seems like Kazooie adopted Banjo, which is not kind of what I expected for the story. I expected them to just be kind of like friends, not like a mother-son situation here.
Banjo. He's a doofy-looking bear with the yellow shorts and I like that look, actually, and the blue backpack. It says, a honey bear with a love of sleeping, swimming, and even dancing when the mood takes him. Banjo has found life to just be too interesting for its own good since he found himself, quote-unquote, adopted by Kazooie. His Breegull friend seems to just to attract trouble like a magnet. So Kazooie adopted Banjo, huh? Interesting lore detail.
Kazooie. Unlikely as the partnership may seem, Banjo and Kazooie have been firmest friends since the day they met. Red-crested Breegulls are notorious loudmouths, but at least there's plenty of truth behind Kazooie's boasts. She and Banjo together make an extraordinary team.
Next up is Tootie. She's like a little bear. She's like Banjo's little sister, got like blonde pigtails. Banjo's little sister, as cute, sweet, and innocent as Kazooie, is loud, brash, and shameless. Looking after Tootie is a full-time job for Banjo, as she tends to wander off as soon as his back's turned, so his feathered partner's love of exploration often comes in handy. And I like how Tootie is not in any of the other Banjo games. I think in Banjo-Tooie, there's like a milk carton with her missing picture on it.
Bottles, a good friend of Tootie, this chirpy little mole has never been too fond of the loud company kept by Banjo. Under the circumstances, Bottles will do all he can to help, even if that means putting himself on the receiving end of Kazooie's raucous banter.
Then we get breakdowns for, like, Tootie and Bottles, which aren't that interesting. And then we get Gruntilda and Bruntilda. The surprising thing is that Bruntilda is supposed to be the, like, super beautiful one, and that's not what I would call beauty. That's just kind of like Kermit the Frog in a wig. So I'm not sure what exactly Gruntilda's chasing here.
Finally, we've got Mumbo Jumbo. This is a, he has a skull with feathers coming out of him. It's hard to describe Mumbo Jumbo without looking at him, but he's like this shaman character with a skull for a head. A former teacher of Gruntilda's, this mysterious shaman was betrayed by his pupil before he could prevent her from putting his magic to bad use. The witch transformed Mumbo's face into a mask of horror to remain that way until the day she's overthrown.
Wow.
Not remember that little bit of lore. Is that canon? It's in the manual, so it must be.
What else have we got? Oh, how to move. You've got your movement buttons. Oh, I love the C buttons on a Nintendo controller. Oh, absolute delight.
We got a page for special moves. We can climb, we can swim, we can feathery flap, we can forward roll attack, we can rat-a-tat rap, we can flap-flip.
We've got a list of all the moves that you can do. You have to ask Bottles about, I think, almost all of them before you can do any of them. Or you can just ignore him completely. And if you did read the manual, you would know how to do it because it tells you. So that's cool. I like their names. The rat-a-tat rap. Nice. And the flap-flip. The Talon Trot is my most favourite move and should be available instantly in the game, and I hate that it makes me wait until the first world to open that, but that's fine. It's totally fine. I can't wait until we get the Stilt Stride boots. I do love a pair of gum boots. Oh, actually, no, I like the Beak Bomb. Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be fun. Turbo Talon Trot, when you get a pair of speedy runners, because Kazooie on her own isn't hard enough to maneuver. Let's give her a pair of fucking runners and see how quickly you can just run straight off the edge of bridges and have to restart races all over again. Awesome.
Scrolling through here, we've got buttons. As you guys know, when you have a video game controller and you press buttons, it does things. So maybe look at that. You got special moves. I'm going really fast because I know my recording's already long. You can swim. You can do a feathery flap of Kazooie. It's kind of like a flutter jump from Yoshi, kind of. You can do a forward roll attack. You can. It's kind of like a Ocarina of Time roll, rat-a-tat rap, which is when Kazooie reaches out of your backpack and pecks things for you. And a flap flip, which is basically just a really airy backflip.
Oh my god, we can Talon Trot, we can Beak Barge, we can Beak Buster, we can Egg Firing, we can Shock Spring Jump. Oh my god, it keeps on going. We can Flight, we can Beak Bomb, we can Wonder Wing, we can Stilt Stride, we can Turbo Talon Trot. No wonder this guy made in the fucking Smash Bros. Holy shit.
Next page, there's more special moves. Talon Trot, I'm pretty sure this is something you'd learn from Bottles, but because we can basically, you go faster and you can go up steeper hills, having Kazooie come out of the backpack and walk for you. Beak Barge, it's kind of like a, I don't know if it's a homing attack, but Kazooie like pops out of your backpack and beaks something really hard. Beak Buster, it's a ground pound, egg firing. Eventually you get the ability to shoot eggs with Kazooie right out of her mouth, I believe, somehow. Don't think about it. And then there, you can like do shock spring jumps. That's cool. Wow, there's a lot of special moves. Eventually you get the ability to fly with Kazooie, which is really cool. I actually like that ability. A Beak Bomb, which it's a lightning fast attack. Wonder Wing, I believe that's like temporary invincibility for a certain amount of time. I'm surprised they included all these special moves in the manual. There's a Stilt Stride, where basically you can use Kazooie to walk through dangerous things like swamp water and lava and shit. Turbo Talon Trot, I believe that's gotta go fast mode.
And then the one ability that always seems to be given to birds, which does not seem practical, and that's the bird throwing eggs at people. I mean, these eggs are supposed to be their like hatchlings and their babies, and they're always throwing them at people. At least with like Birdo, I think those were eggs that Birdo had ate in Mario, so it made sense that she'd be able to fire them out at people. But birds themselves would probably never use eggs as a weapon. That'd be like throwing a fetus at somebody? Yeah, I don't even want to go there.
Exit the witch's lair. Oh, I hate that. If you want to save and quit, it gives you the bloody game over cutscene. Like as if you died and given up. You're like, no, I don't have time to sit here and play this for 7 hours. I need to have a snack. I need to sleep. But no, it gives you the horrible cutscene and tells you what happens if you fail. So, you know, spoiler alert. And then we have all of the collectible objects, which are the music notes, jigsaw pieces, the Jinjos. Oh, my favorite. Oh, I do have a fun fact about Jinjos for later. The eggs, the red feathers, the gold feathers are my favorite. The Ikonbokons, I mean the Mumbo tokens.
Banjo statues to get extra lives.
the extra honeycomb pieces and honeycomb energy. Ah, the honeycomb pieces that make up Banjo's life was originally going to be clothes. So each time he got hurt, he was going to lose an item of clothing. So instead of, so he was going to have, I think, a shirt, a hat, and shoes. I hope he was going to have shorts. It'd be like a Winnie the Pooh situation going on. So he, each time he got hurt, he would lose something until I think he just ended up without his shoes on, and then he would die. But I want to know what they were thinking for collecting life. Like, did you just run around and have to collect items of clothing? Did you have to get the specific item of clothing that you lost? Like, that would have been kind of neat. I mean, tedious, but it would have been very unique and cool. And beehives and molehills and everything else it's got going on. Do not forget the witch switches, people. They're important and helpful. And then we've got a little bit of information about Mumbo and his hut. The shaman certainly gets around, and you'll find him... No, sorry. You'll find one of his holiday homes in several of the game's worlds. It's hard to miss that big gap-toothed skull he's so fond of. Mumbo will be waiting for you inside his hut, but you won't get much out of him unless you've brought enough Mumbo tokens. I call them Ikon Bokons because that's the sound they make when you pick them up, and it's far cooler than saying Mumbo token.
And then this brief overview of the 10 worlds that are listed here. I'm not going to get into each of these in detail.
Oh, they look so much smaller than I remember them being when I was younger.
Okay, in the list of the worlds, there's Gruntilda's Lair, which is a big lair with Gruntilda's goddamn face on it. It's like right outside Banjo's home in Spiral Mountain. That's kind of scary. Mumbo's Mountain, level 1. It's where Mumbo lives, presumably. Treasure Trove Cove, I remember this place. It's like an island, and if you go too far out in the water, like a big fucking shark comes and eats you, I think. It's absolutely terrifying, especially if you are a young child. Clanker's Cavern also has a shark that scares the shit out of you, except for this one is made out of, like, rusted metal.
Giant mechanical fish, which serves as Gruntilda's trash compactor.
Bubble Gloop Swamp is the obligatory Miyazaki swamp level. Freeze Easy Peak is the ice world. Gobi's Valley is the desert world. Mad Monster Mansion is the spooky world. Rusty Bucket Bay, I think we'll hear a lot about this one later.
Very cool. God, I'm not looking forward to Rusty Bucket Bay. Just at all. I'm least looking forward to hearing everyone else experience Rusty Bucket Bay, though.
Click Clock Wood, this one also looks scary.
Then after all that, you're on to face Gruntilda.
It says, should she manage to overcome the hazards of every world and make your way to the top of the witch's lair, you'll find that she certainly has been lazy all this time. She's been beavering away on a special little surprise for her visitors, and nothing will have prepared you for the ultimate challenge that Gruntilda now throws at your feet.
And then we have a blank page for notes, so you can take all your notes.
And then we've got a nice little notes page at the end.
Right, so I guess you collect things in Banjo, and there's levels. Not unlike Mario, I suppose, but I'll see you in episode 1.
Should be playing Mario 64. I don't know.
You too can be part of the Super Switch Club. It's not too late. Head on over to probablywork.com/SuperSwitchClub to join today. Submissions are always open. The Super Switch Club is a production of the We Can Make This Work, Probably, podcast network. Find more of our other great shows at probablywork.com, including Podcasters Assemble, and check out our Discord page. All games featured are available to play on the Nintendo Switch Online Virtual Library. Music by Overclocked Remix. This podcast was created by Bill from Bill's JRPGs and Other Trappings. This episode was edited by Locathor and Eric Slater. Thank you to everyone who was able to contribute to this episode. Links in the show notes.
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.
So So yeah, at my mom's house, we had the original black system with the gray controller, but I remember my family ended up getting multiple colored controllers, the expansion pack, accessories like the Rumble Pack, memory cards, that weird Pokemon Stadium add-on where you could connect the Game Boy games, and even that weird microphone from Hello Pikachu, which really kind of sucked.
Zooey's a red-breasted seagull. Wait, a red-crested breagle. Oh my goodness. A red-breasted seagull would be quite the sight.
I have a lot of fond memories of the N64 playing with my friends and all that, but we used to take these family road trips in SUV with a small portable TV that we would hook up with the N64 for us kids to play in the back, usually my stepbrother Andrew and I. And it was usually multiplayer on GoldenEye, you know, DK, Paintball, All Slaps, etc., or battle mode on Mario Kart 64. But I specifically remember being stuck in traffic in Atlanta while playing Toad's Turnpike. Anywho, we're not here to reminisce about all those great games. We're here to talk about this other game, I guess. Banjo-Kazooie.
Ugh, fine.
Banjo-Kazooie is basically a find-your-keys simulator with a weird talking bear and an annoying bird.